This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with the grumpy economist. This is John Cochran, the most cheerful economist I know. He's an esteemed fellow of the Hoover Institution. He teaches economy, grumpy economy, at Stanford University, and he writes a blog I highly recommend. It is now called Substack, John Cochran. And this week, the grumpy economist examines Doge to begin with. Is Doge about the tax code? Is Doge about reducing the size of government? Does Doge have anything to do with your tax returns? John, a very good evening to you. As I understand Doge in the presentation of the color for Mr. Musk, it is looking for waste, fraud, and abuse. Does that connect to the tax code right now? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Directly, no, but I look forward to when the Dogers turn their eyes on that Swiss cheese of rottenness known as the U.S. tax code. But for the moment, no.
There are ambitions, however, for the Trump administration that do speak to the tax code. So I want to go to the big one that gained a lot of attention during the campaign. And I believe the president recently stopped in Las Vegas to underline that he intends to go forward with no tax on tips. You have a very careful analysis of what that means, especially what it means for, say, a waitress or a restaurant worker anywhere in the country. No tax on tips. Is that a doable idea? Does it in some fashion damage the tax income? Is it a good idea? Good evening.
Good evening. I don't think it's a great idea, but it's a promise that the president made when he won an election. So presidents who are good politicians do something about their campaign promises. So let's try to take a sensible tax somewhere halfway between Trump, the end of democracy. We're going to blow up the budget. And yeah, go, Mr. President, anything you want is great. OK, let's just think about this one. So removing the tax on tips, the devil is in the details. It's always where the devil is. How is this going to be implemented? My bet is that they will not simply let every Hoover senior fellow like me walk down to my boss and say, cut my salary, give me $100,000 in tipped income, please. That's not going to happen. What they're going to do, of course, is limit it by income and limit it to people in industries that typically have tips. So you can see this is all the fun and games are rapidly disappearing. I bet you anything, they will require you to declare the income and then get to reduce it by the amount of tips. This matters enormously, because if you declare the income, you have to pay Social Security tax, you have to pay Medicare tax, you have to pay all those other taxes. It reduces the amount of social benefits you get. So if you declare income, then you get less in food stamps, housing adjustments, and so forth. And let's not forget, people under about $50,000 to $60,000 in the U.S. don't pay taxes on net anyway. Why not? The tax rate's already quite low, about 10%. But there are deductions and exclusions like the child care tax credit, which are refundable. So under 50 grand, the government pays you. Yes, file your taxes, people under 50 grand, they will send you money. So leaving tipped income out of income that doesn't get taxed anyway is not going to make a huge amount of difference. So that's why it's not going to be a budget buster. It's not going to be a great deal for people like us to get out of income taxes not a big deal one way or the other.
You report that a waitress or a restaurant worker right now has a negative tax. What does that mean?
That means the government sends you money when you file your taxes. So you fill out your tax return and it says, you know, you've earned $50,000 a year. You owe us $5,000. But wait a minute. There's a personal exemption. There's a family exemption. There's a child care tax credit. There's a various other exemptions and deductions from your income. And many of them are refundable, meaning that you can end up not just I don't pay you any taxes, but the government pays you actually money when you're all over with it.
So you get a check from the federal government like you do if there was you'd pay an excessive tax at the end of the year.
Exactly. And that's, you know, we can discuss the wisdom of that, but that's how we handle a lot of our redistribution in the U.S. is through the tax code rather than just being sent a check under some social program.
Now, another popular idea that the president advanced during the campaign and has been restated since the administration is no tax on Social Security. Is that a wise idea, John? I receive Social Security, and I want to emphasize, you don't have a choice. You reach a certain age, you must take Social Security. There are actually strong letters of abuse if you do not. All right. No tax on Social Security. Is that a good idea?
Well, this is one, again, where too many of my fellow economists are, Trump, you blow up the budget. Now, it's true. Social Security is unsustainable. The project of somebody else will have children and they will work to sustain all of us in our old age is running into not enough children to pay this thing off. So Social Security has to be fixed. And the first instinct is that this will make Social Security even less sustainable. But on the other hand, there's a big problem in Social Security. And the big problem in Social Security, like everywhere else in this country, is the incentives. And in particular, the way the various Social Security things work out is if you earn an extra dollar, if you choose to work, as you and I seem to past our Social Security qualifying ages, you lose a lot of money from your Social Security. And that number can be as high as 80%. It can cost you 80 cents on the dollar for working. And the tax on Social Security was part of that. So basically, if Social Security is going to end up working in this country, we have to allow people on disability and people of a certain age to continue to work if they choose to. I'm not, you know, sending grandpa down to the salt mines, but taking a generation of people and at 65 saying you will sit on a government check for the next, we now live a long time, the next 20, 30 years of your life. And if you dare to work, we're going to take it away from you. That's the part that's unsustainable. So as part of a larger, we need to fix this disincentive program of Social Security, this actually isn't as nutty as it sounds. And it is part of what's happened to Social Security. It was sold as a retirement thing. You put in money, you take money out. It is becoming just another transfer program. So now you'd only get to take money out if you don't work. So it's becoming just tax people with high incomes and give it to people with low income. That's not that. That has much worse disincentives to work. And that's not what it was sold as. But that's where Social Security is heading. And this is part of changing it back in. But still, so I'll score it as a medium, helps on the disincentives. We need to really fix the structure of the program to help those disincentives. And sooner or later, we got to put this thing on a sound fiscal footing.
And John, we've talked about Social Security before. The presentation that I like the best is to change the ages. That'd solve everybody's problem, wouldn't it?
There's all sorts of things that would solve everybody's problem. Yes, changing the ages, the expectation you'll work longer. Again, I'm an economist, so I always love freedom. Let's allow people to change the ages if they want to. Why are you forced to take Social Security now?
Good question. I could never get an answer. Do you have the answer?
No. Well, that's the way the law is written. So, yes, change the ages, change the incentives. That's sort of number one. And then change the formulas. You're not allowed to say just cut the benefits, but Social Security benefits are indexed to wages, not to prices. So isn't it good enough to say we'll keep you up with inflation as opposed to we will raise your benefits if other people start earning more money? Those are the example of simple things that could be done to get this thing working again.
Now, here is something that is compelling. There's a link in John's Grumpy Economist paper. Two economists, colleagues at Hoover, Val Bellotny and Natalia Emanuel, have demonstrated that overtime hurts women. How's that, John? And taxing overtime, would that hurt them even more?
Yeah, so the President Trump's proposal was to remove the tax on overtime, which that's the one that I like least, because what it does is it gives an artificial incentive to say to your boss, rather than work 5 days a week for 8 hours a day, why don't I, you know, work two 20-hour shifts and then not come in at all? Well, that would cut your tax bill a lot. And that adds to, we have a lot of labor laws right now that force employers to pay you time and a half or double time for overtime. So there's a lot of businesses where people play this game, especially government businesses, of getting lots and lots of overtime. That's particularly damaging to, first of all, it's damaging to the business because people who are working 20-hour days are not as productive as people who aren't. But it's particularly damaging to women, to people who have to take care of children, to men who want to go home and see their families, to people taking care of elderly people, to people who can't work 20-hour days. So back to Bellotny, they looked at the Boston subway system, which has a extremely gender neutral pay scheme. There's absolutely no discrimination in how in the rules of, you know, women get paid less than men, women get the same jobs as men, you know, beautiful job. But it has the government imposed overtime rules that you earn a lot more for overtime. And it turned out men were earning a lot more than women, not because of discrimination, not because of any different treatment, but simply because they were more able to say, honey, you take care of the kids. I'm going to go work the 2 o'clock in the morning shift than the women were able to do. So that's not an incentive. My proposal was, you know, if you want this, Mr. President, fine. But how about we trade it for getting rid of mandatory overtime pay and let's just get rid of this incentive to artificially bunch work and to have more flexible work for people who need more flexibility.
I'm speaking with John Cochran of the Hoover Institution, Stanford University. The Grumpy Economist is his Substack blog. We've been nickel and diming. When we come back, the big stuff. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.